Blog Talk Radio.
Today you can claim the life you were meant to have. This All the Way In Radio. I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and I'm here to help you recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. It's easy to find people who will tell you you can't, but success and happiness only come when we reject you can't and fully embrace I can. The philosophical foundation for All the Way In summed up in the advice of my father, who told me to let the words of my critics roll away like water from a duck's back. So clear your mind and open your heart. Enjoy it. You'll be glad you did. This is All the Way In Radio. I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and I've got a great show for you today. This is the first in our month-long Valentine's series focusing on LGBT couples, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans couples for Valentine's Day. Last week, we talked about Nando. We talked about his blog. We talked about his contest. And we talked about being single. But today, we're going to talk, and the rest of the month, we're going to talk about being in relationship. And tonight, I'm joined with my guest in New York, Bob Johnson, and his guest, his partner, Vince.
Hi there, Deborah. Actually, my partner's not here, but he's off at his home.
That's okay. We can still talk about being in relationship. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. It's good to have you here. You're a photographer, a writer, for a publicist, a videographer. You do it all, huh?
Oh, my God, you got it these days.
Yeah, you do. You have to have a hat for every season, right?
Oh, my God, totally.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you met your partner and how that got started.
Oh, my gosh. I was in New York. They have this speed dating thing called DateBait.
Mm.
And I think it's online, datebait.com, and I decided to go again. I had gone several times, and what DateBait is, you've got a bunch of single people in a room. Everybody's got a number.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first part of the hour, everybody has like a minute to stand up and talk about what they're looking for. You get a lot of, it's like, I've got everything I want, everything I need, a great apartment, a great job, a great pet. I just don't have somebody to share it with.
Mm.
I love romantic walks on the beach, candlelight dinners and show tunes, and it just gets, So
yeah.
It finally got to me, number 58. I stood up and said, "Hi, I'm Bob. I'm number 58. I'm looking for somebody who doesn't have temper tantrums. I'm Bob, number 58. And that's it.
That's great.
And so I actually, it was a really good night. I met like eight people, and Vince, who I've been with now for 5 years, he came walking in the door late. He didn't realize it was a drop-in at any time thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I immediately saw him and walked right towards him, and I later found out that the reason he actually came in when it was still going on is because he saw me.
Stop.
And so I spent some time talking, and I liked him, and I wanted to go on a date with him, and I what you do is you write the person's number down.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the night, they feed the sheets to the computer, and if you match, you go out on a date, which is like 20 minutes in a public place for what have you.
Yeah.
At the time, however, I didn't know that he has retinitis pigmentosa, which means he has no peripheral vision.
Mm.
So his vision is very bad, and I filled out the sheet, and I actually did really well. I think I got six or eight dates, but his number wasn't on there, the one man that I wanted to meet, and I was really bummed. I was excited, but I was bummed.
Yeah.
On the way out the door in the elevator, I looked at him and I said, "You didn't put my number down." He said, "I couldn't see it." we exchanged numbers then, and it was December 18th, five years ago of 2004. Mm. And you know, and since then, it's been absolutely wonderful. I mean, it's been a journey, and it's been a good journey. But we've both had, you know, struggles through the time. I mean, at a year later, I mean, after that, I wound up being diagnosed with colon cancer, and I was like, oh no, I don't want this to be a love story. I don't want to be a living love story. But it's been a great 5 years, and our first Valentine's Day together, I was trying to figure out what to do, something memorable, something different, and not, you know, your standard roses and dinner. And I'm like, well, I found out that he had never seen the movie Fatal Attraction. So we spent our first Valentine's Day curled up on my couch bed, because I was living in a studio at the time, watching Fatal Attraction, and it was like the best way I've ever spent a Valentine's Day.
That was not all that expensive either.
No, not at all. I mean, actually, I had to scour Manhattan. Copies of that DVD weren't around. I went from place to place looking for a copy for it, but I finally found it, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And but there are also a plethora of other fine movies to watch for Valentine's Day viewing.
So is that how you spend Valentine's Day usually?
Watching,
curled up on the couch, watching movies, huh? You started
inappropriate Valentine's Day movies.
Yeah, Fatal Attraction, right?
Yeah, Fatal Attraction. I mean, you can't top that one. I mean, that's like, you can't top it. But we've done pretty good. I mean, we've seen Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf,
yeah,
which is another lovely love story. what else have we watched? I mean, this year we're planning on watching Deliverance. He's never seen Deliverance,
oh my gosh.
And I haven't seen it in years. And I thought, you know, that's lovely Valentine's Day. Monster was another one. We watched Monster for Valentine's Day.
That's hilarious.
And it's but the thing that's really weird about Monster, I kept putting off watching it and putting off watching it because I thought I was going to be so depressed and it was going to be a hateful, hateful movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlize Theron's performance is amazing, but as I was watching it for the first time, I became totally transfixed, and about a third of the way through, I'm like, this is a love story. And if you look at Monster that way, it is. I watched one of the little extra features. There's like one of those 10-minute making of, and the director writer was talking about it. It's like, you know, I approached this as if it was a love story. I'm like, oh, perfect. Yeah. Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. I'll have to look at that again. So you've been together 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Did you have a ceremony to mark the time or to mark?
No, we haven't. We haven't. I mean, it's not legal in New York. This year, it would have been, oh, gosh, I've been unemployed for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's retired and on a limited income, so we didn't have much to do anything. So we just spent the day together enjoying each other, as we always do. So
that's a ceremony, all right? You know?
Okay, so, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. One of the things that I like to do is to think about ceremonies in unusual ways. And we can have our own ceremonies to each other and make that commitment and honor that commitment. And to me, that means a lot more than all the hoopla that ends in half of them end in divorce anyway.
Oh, my God, I know. And they talk about, you know, how the whole gay marriage thing is like, you've got to preserve the sanctity of marriage. It's
I
like,
know,
well,
right?
I think you better start with that, you know, that divorce rate with heterosexuals. They've been making a mockery of it.
Yeah, and the percentage of people who have had affairs in their marriages while they're still married, that's very high.
Oh, exactly, exactly. There's a really fun website out there. There's a guy who started up rescuemarriage.org, and it's dedicated. He started it after the whole Prop 8 thing, and he's kind of raising money to help fight the whole Prop 8 battle in parts. I mean, by selling these T-shirts, I've got it on today, believe it or not. It says, "You said till death do us part, you're not dead yet."
that's kind of funny, yeah. That kind of goes right into the divorce rate.
Oh my God, and it's like I used to work for a church, and I wouldn't consider myself this big religious person in any means, but one thing I've always taken seriously is that, I mean, that commitment between two people, especially in, you know, house of God and front of God and everybody,
mm-hmm.
And it's just baffles my mind when you've got these Christian people in those red states who are just like so upset with, you know, the whole gay marriage, yet at the same time, the divorce rate down there isn't exactly very low.
But that's leading me into the next thing I'd like to hear your thoughts on, which is gay marriage. What are your thoughts on that? I have mixed feelings about it. Just curious about what you're thinking.
Well, Vince likes to say, he's just like, you know what, civil union is fine, or come up with another name for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it needs to be different, let it be different so we can have the legal protection
mm-hmm.
that should be everybody's legal protection who wants to commit their life to another life partner, regardless of their gender.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's the one thing I'm totally for. I mean, part of me says, you know, if the issue is marriage, just like, let's like make everybody, there's one photo I took at a Prop 8 protest, and someone was holding it up and said, I didn't ask her to civil union me. But it's like, you know, why not just make everybody, gay, straight, bisexual, transgendered, have a civil union, and that's what's legally recognized. And if you want to have a marriage, you can go to the church and do that.
You know? We're on the same page with that.
And
that's where my mixed feelings come from. Yeah.
It's you know, why can't it's a marriage when you get down to it? It's a legal contract.
Mhm.
That's what it is.
And I think we get caught up in language, like you're touching on the language marriage or civil union, because my focus is to make sure that we have the same legal rights that heterosexual couples have, and we don't get taxed twice. Our households don't get taxed twice, and we don't have to pay double for our insurance and things like that. That's more important to me than going into some church where someone, you know, makes some little signs and things over you and say, go in peace. Because a lot of times...
What happened to separation of church and state?
Separate them. Exactly.
Separate them.
but you know, even in the gay community, there's the sticking point about not wanting to have civil unions. There are people who want to have marriage and have it be called marriage. And that's... We've gotten in this loop, I think, that will probably go on long past us.
And it goes back to like the whole civil rights thing, and the when it wasn't too long ago that people of different races could not get married.
That's true. That's true. Very true.
I mean,
back in the 60s, it wasn't that long ago. It was in our lifetime, some of us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if that were still true today, if people of two different races could not get married, would they settle, would that group of people settle for, well, you can have a civil union because you're not the same race?
Hmm. You know, that's a good question. I hadn't thought of it that way. Not specifically.
At the same time, I always go back to, you know, straight people have made such a mockery of marriage and the sanctity of marriage. And there are exceptions. I mean, my parents have been together for... How long has it been now? 46 or 47 years?
Mm-hmm.
Why would somebody want to go into that institution that's just not what it really is? It's a sacred bond and what have you. So it's a toughie.
It's a complicated one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a little quick break, and when we come back, we'll either pick it up right there or just talk about a different topic in the context. We'll be right back in about a minute, okay?
Okay.
Isn't that John and Rachel over there? I thought they broke up.
Broke up? When?
A while back. John looks good.
Why wouldn't he? Who told you they broke up?
Rachel did.
Well, maybe she was just talking, venting.
No, Rachel found out John had HIV, and she was going to leave him.
What? HIV?
Yes, she was worried that she had it too, but her test came back negative. I wonder what made her change her mind. Maybe...
What?
Well, when my brother told me he had HIV, he gave me a book. Said it would help us talk. You remember. The title was Your Neighbor Has AIDS.
Oh yeah, I read that too.
And when Rachel told me about John, I asked her not to make any decisions until she'd read it.
That was smart. That book helped you and your brother.
Yeah, and what I learned helped me talk with Mom, too.
You think that made a difference for them?
I'd bet money on it, and you know I'm not a betting woman.
But you are a great sis and good friend.
Your Neighbor Has AIDS by Deborah E. Lake is available at DeborahELake.com, Amazon.com, and select bookstores.
Okay, we are back, and my guest today is Bob Johnson. You know, I was checking you went to school in South Carolina, didn't you? I'm from
I
there.
Did. You're kidding.
I'm not from there, but I did live there for a while. My parents, they have that in their history, and we moved there for a while, and I went to high school there for a while. It's still in my accent, I'm sure.
A little bit. It was so funny today, coming home from the subway, I'm wearing my Crocs, my USC Crocs.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked down and said, "Did you go to Carolina?" And I, well, yeah, I did, and it was fun connecting. It was a great time, and I grew up in Rhode Island, but I just wasn't quite feeling oppressed enough regarding sexual orientation, so I decided, gee, let me go down there.
Well, I'm a Midwesterner by birth. I grew up in Detroit, but for a short stint, we were in South Carolina, Greenville, actually.
I've been to Greenville. Yeah, I love the state. It's so pretty. I miss the sweet tea.
Yeah, that's true, sweet tea. What I miss is the mountains. Asheville.
Oh, yes. Falls,
they were beautiful. They really were. So, gay marriage is like a very complicated topic. And, you know, I'm going to look at it again with the race thing, where would it make sense for people of different races to settle for civil unions. I think that we need to separate it completely anyway. And like you said, if you want to get married in a church, go ahead. Because one of the things that I find is I see people, just recently, people just wanted to have a big ceremony and be important for a day. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let's go get married. But it didn't really mean anything. And that's what you were saying before we took the break.
I know. I mean, Star Jones, speaking of not meaning anything, Star Jones got married at the church I worked at St. Bart's.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working there as director of communications. And, I mean, there's a marriage that kind of went down the tubes right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's a touchy one. And I think it's going to be with us for a while, that topic. I really do.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's not over.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the one thing that actually gives me hope, although I think it's coming along far too late into his administration, is the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have gone into office and said, okay, he may not have said it's okay to be gay and be in the military, but Obama could have certainly said, you know what, we're just going to put this on hold right now until we work it out so nobody can be fired because they're gay or lesbian or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And but that is starting to work its way through, it gives me hope.
Mm-hmm.
That once that is repealed, that the next step is going to be put into the whole, you know, non-discriminatory laws that, I mean, a protected class will be.
Mm-hmm.
LGBT people.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that happens, I think people will be able to take it right to the Supreme Court at the federal level and say, you know what, it's right in the Constitution there.
Yeah.
So... So it may be longer. Hopefully it won't.
Well,
time will tell.
Time will tell. And I'm single anyway, so it doesn't really matter to me right now.
But
speaking
you still
of singles. Pardon,
yes.
Pardon me?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, speaking of singles, what kind of advice do you have for people who are out there looking?
Out there looking?
Yeah, looking for that person. You
know, well, it took me... Go ahead.
They have a perfect life, except they don't have anyone to share it with other than their pet.
I know. I mean, I've heard people, you know, cry on my shoulder, I'm single, and I tell them it took me 40 years to find the man of my dreams.
Mm.
And it was worth the wait. One thing I did when I was younger, especially in South Carolina, is I went out in that dating pool a lot and lots of bar hopping and lots of dates that lasted a night, that kind of thing.
Mm.
And And if I had a regret in my life was not, if I could turn back time and go back, I'd love to be able to focus on following what I love to do. Because if all those times I went out to bars trying to meet people, if I had just gone and done things I wanted to do, be it like, you know, go volunteer at community theater. I did that when I was 21. I was living in Florence, South Carolina, mm-hmm. and I met my first long-term relationship, a guy named John, volunteering at a community theater. I was doing something that I really liked to do. Mm-hmm. I was bored in Florence, but boom, there, he pops up at a production of The Sound of Music. And just getting out there and focusing on that instead of trying to find somebody to make your life complete, because there's so much life out there. And it's hard because the society is so, you know, it's such a couple-oriented society. The whole Valentine's Day thing is so alienating to people who are not in a relationship. I mean, it's always hard when that day comes up. It's like, okay,
yeah.
I send my mom a card.
Everywhere you look, you really can't get away from it. There's marketing for Valentine's and couples everywhere you look. The whole month of February. That's part of why I'm doing this, because I started with the shows with someone who's single, and it's interesting that Nando said the exact same thing, only different words, but meant the exact same thing, that you focus on yourself, and the person that you're supposed to be with will come in that process. In other words, live your life.
Exactly, or just look at it as like you're dating yourself. Just try not to get into too many arguments.
Don't throw a tantrum on yourself, right?
Exactly, because that ain't going to get you nowhere.
Oh,
committed somewhere.
That's funny. I'm going to have to remember that. Date yourself. Just don't give yourself a hard time.
I mean, there was a point in time in my life, too, because I was always looking for that love, listening to show tunes and dreaming about moonlight walks on the beach. But it came to a point where I was done. I always made the wrong choices. And I would say at a point, people would ask me, are you dating? And he was like, no, my heart is full. There's no more room. But I had a huge breakthrough in therapy, believe it or not. When I grew up, I had a family member who had lots of tantrums. I mean, just like the most amazing tantrums that I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, doors would slam, the house would shake, and it was a Dutch colonial home, sturdy home.
Mm-hmm.
And in therapy one day, after I had made all these wrong choices, and sometimes you choose the wrong people, even subconsciously, not knowing, I'd always start dating these people I found incredibly just lovely and wonderful and just so much fun to be around, but they had this really dark temper tantrum side.
Mm-hmm.
And my therapist looked at me and said, you know, you got to stop dating your sister. Some people date their fathers, some people date their mothers.
That is so true. That is so true. And you know why we do that? We do that because we're trying to correct the relationship, even though we might not know it. But we're trying to make the relationship turn out a different way, in a way that we hoped it would have when we were actually in that relationship.
Once you realize who you're dating, you can start looking for those warning signs. Like, uh-oh, gotta end this now.
I call them red flags. Oh, that's a red flag.
Oh, yeah, and if it happens really quickly, you just become more in tune to it. It's like, okay, am I doing this again?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, no, I wasn't, although I had a list. I mean, I had a checklist. I had, like, these questions that I would ask people that they had to pass all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's
not a bad idea. That is not a bad idea, because if you really don't know who you want to be with, you don't know yourself, you can get in some really bad situations.
Oh, totally. But I mean, it's the questions I'd ask them first off. I mean, you know, it's like, do you live in Jersey? I mean, I just like don't want to go there. But other questions, like, do you speak English? I mean, because I've dated people who didn't speak any English, and that's difficult.
Yeah, the communication would get in the way that way. You'd have to work on that one.
even with my Portuguese-English dictionary, I have excellent conversation about fixing tires on the road. Can you help me, please?
Can you point me to the right the bathrooms or a restaurant?
Not that romantic. And then, oh, what was it? Another, do you live with your mother?
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But, well, and as it turned out, I mean, Vince spoke English, but his mother, who's 91, lives with him.
Mm.
I was like,
well, that's different.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, okay, I can deal with that. That's good. And now, do you go on vacations with your ex was another question.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
I know.
That would be something that, yeah, could complicate things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I had that once, and he said, no, but my ex still lives with me. Like, oh, no.
Well, that's worse.
But they had been broken up for several years, and he was moving out to his own home, and it worked out fine. It was like my three deal breakers. I think there may have been another. Are you employed was another one.
Yeah.
Are you employed?
Yeah.
Nowadays, and
that would knock a lot of people out, though, because the
economy is
so bad.
Yeah, that would. I mean, at that point, 5 years ago, it was. I mean, it was important because I wasn't making a lot of money. I couldn't support somebody, and but as it turned out, he was retired.
Mm-hmm.
He retired on disability, so so he failed all my deal breaker questions.
And it worked out anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And the whole thing about Vince, back in 2001, after 9/11, I was in a relationship that was not a healthy one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working for a church, and I remember the Saturday after 9/11 sitting with one of the priests. It was an Episcopal church, and her name was Nancy Hanna. It still is. And I was sitting there talking to her, and I just, oh, my God, I was a mess. I mean, 9/11, and then the relationship is going down the toilet, and she looked at me and said, have you tried prayer?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I'm not really this kind of person who gets on my knees and does the whole, you know, rosary whatever thing.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, prayer doesn't have to be that way. My husband, who works for another, you know, Christian organization, she said he taught me a long time ago that prayer doesn't have to be as you think of prayer. If you're a dancer, you can dance a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a painter, you can paint a prayer. If you're a writer, you can write it in a journal.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it's like, yeah, and I took it up, and it's like, okay, I mean, I'm going to just start this writing thing. I haven't really looked at those journals since because I know there's a lot of whoa, whoa, poor me stuff in there. But one of the things I did is I sat down and I said, okay, this is what I want in a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a list. It was a good 20. I mean, from superficial things, it's like I like the hirsute, gentlemanly type as opposed to the shaved man. And hairy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, Vince is probably the hairiest man I've ever dated in my life. So if there's a higher power out there, sure enough, he's got a sense of humor.
Yeah, definitely.
But every single thing on that list, I mean, that's Vince. It describes Vince.
Well, that's great.
I mean, and I guess it's kind of the secret, which I don't really believe in the secret, nor that much in prayer, but apparently putting it down on the paper helped.
Yeah, I think, because the way I see it is, you have to think it first. If you can't think it, if you can't conceive it, if it's not in your head, there's no way you can do it or get it or see it when it's in front of you. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Sort of. Maybe. But sometimes it takes time.
It always takes time. And it always takes more time than you want.
Oh, exactly. Did you ever see the play Sister Mary Ignatius Explains It All for You?
No, I haven't. No.
Oh, pick it up and read it sometime. It's really, it's a brilliantly dark piece with this kind of crazy nun who's, but one of the lines in there that I read.
No, I won't say that.
Pardon me?
Nothing. Start to say, are there any other?
Well, they're all married to God.
Yeah.
I mean, they wear wedding rings. What does God give them for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, well,
I mean, and if you look,
go ahead.
I mean, God, I mean, like, if all these nuns are married to them, he's like the biggest Mormon in the world. One of my favorite lines from that play is, like, one of the characters is talking about her mother dying, and she'd pray and look for the answer and this, that, and the other thing. And the nun looks at her and says, well, sometimes God's answer is no.
That's true.
Or, yeah, it's a wonderful play to read. I mean, when you're dealing with
I'll take
faith.
I'll take a look at it. I will.
It's short, too. It's
I was
short.
Up
you're
Catholic,
intense.
Too. So.
You, oh, my God, I was baptized
Irish
Catholic.
Catholic.
Oh, my God. And but see, that's where all the guilt comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
Kathy Wadman, a comedian, one of her lines many, many moons ago when she was doing her stand-up stuff, she would say, religion is basically guilt with different holidays.
That is true. Well, you know what? Anything else you want to say about being in a relationship or anything like that before we go? Because we're going to be, we're getting a little short, and I want people to know how to get in touch with you. I've been to your website, seen some of your work, and it's really great. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. No, I mean, well, my website is bittenbyazebra.com. You can get there. There
I like
are
that.
Links
hey,
all
how
over
did you get that? How did you get that name, Bitten by a Zebra?
I was.
Oh.
When I grew up, I was bitten
really?
By a zebra. Yes. I woke up one day when I was in grad school, and I was like, oh, my God, I was bitten by a zebra.
How did that happen?
Well, I was out wandering the streets
you don't
of Rhode
mind
Island.
That's unusual.
Well, I was at the zoo. I was at the zoo in Rhode Island with my grandfather, who had really big hands, and he had the pellets that you would feed to the friendly goats in the petting zoo, and he decided it would be fun to feed the zebra.
No.
And I was 6 or 7, and so 6 or 7-year-old boy hands compared to grandfather's hands, who were as big as a plate.
Mm-hmm.
The zebra just didn't crunch. I mean, I was scarred psychologically, went through lots of therapy and everything else, but I'm better now. But that day, my mom called the doctor.
Zebras, like some people have. I have nightmares about clowns, you know?
Oh, clowns are scary anyway.
I know.
You know, clowns are just scary. Scary and balloons sometimes. Some people are frightened by balloons.
Mm.
If you go to YouTube and search. I just saw a funny video today. Go to YouTube, Afraid of Balloons. Very funny, very funny. But no, I don't have any nightmares about the zebra. It was just like, I think I repressed it for many years until I was in grad school, and then I was trying to think, okay, what am I going to do for a website, an email address, because there are so many Bob Johnsons out there.
That's true, yeah.
And I said, okay, bitten by a zebra, there you go. And it's kind of stuck, and there aren't many people who can claim that, or nobody's ever contacted me about it.
I think it's a neat name. It gets my attention, and I didn't know it came from actually being bitten.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the only thing I don't like about it. It's in passive voice. A zebra bit me. is more active, but bitten by a zebra works. I think a little bit. It flows nicer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's all we're going to have today, and I really did enjoy talking with you in regards to your partner, Vince. Sorry he wasn't
able to be
here.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was. And best of luck to your relationship and to you and your work. Hope you have a very prosperous good new year. And thanks for being
from your lips to God's ears.
yeah, definitely. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Yes, yes. Take care.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That's all we have today. Thanks for listening, and thanks for telling your friends and colleagues about us. All the Way In is getting more and more popular, and that's because of you. Thank you. And go to my website and check out some of the links there. There's a contest that you might be interested in that Nando's having. You have a couple more days to get in on the possibility of winning a prize. DeborahELake.com. This is All the Way In Radio, and we are recorded live. I'm Deborah Lake, here to let you know that you can recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. Until next time. Connected. Visit
DeborahELake.com. And while you're there, sign up to follow on Twitter and Facebook. You'll also be able to download previously recorded programs. And sign up to become a member and get your edition of the brand new All the Way In newsletter. Members also have access to follow-up broadcasts and special discounts. Remember that you can take All the Way In wherever you go through iTunes. If you have any questions or comments, send an email to allthewayin@deborahelake.com. I'd love to hear from you. All the Way In is a production of Lake Enterprise. Thank you.